leans on something. And the Bible tells us that in one place the Assyrians had surrounded the kingdom of Judah, the city of Jerusalem, and they were threatening them, and they were needling them and belittling them. And this is one of the things they said. 2 Kings 18:21, he said, "Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed." Everybody say, "A bruised reed." A bruised reed. "Even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust him." He said the reed, it's a reed that has been bruised. A reed that is not bruised may be strong enough, but if it's bruised, it's got a weak place in it. And when you lean on it, he said it's going to pierce you through your hand. And that's not a good thing. Amen. And so he said Egypt's like that. There are some bruised reeds that you cannot lean on in life. I'd like to take a few moments here tonight and talk to you about some bruised reeds that when you lean on them, they will pierce you through. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20. He said, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings." If I say profane and vain babblings, that's people that don't know what they're talking about. You ever run into somebody that didn't know what they were talking about, but they thought they did? He said, you be careful about listening to people like that. Amen. My daughter was pretty smart in school. She did really well. Took after her mom in that respect. And she got some tutoring one time from this young man. And it was the only time she ever flunked a test, I do believe. Because he didn't know what he was talking about. He sounded like he did. And she got what he taught all right. It just wasn't the right thing. He just taught her all the wrong answers. There's some bruised reeds out there that don't know what they're talking about. They sound good. They're full of confidence. But they don't know what they're talking about. And then notice he goes on to say this. He said, "And oppositions of science, falsely so called." Notice that. Falsely so called. We are living in a time when science has become a religion that a lot of people believe. There are many people that will take the word of science over the word of God. And they believe more what's in a textbook that changes every single year than they do a book that has a foundation that dates back thousands of years and is just as updated today as it was when it was first written. And not one letter has ever been proven false in the Word of the Lord. Not one promise in the Word of God has ever failed. But listen what he says to Timothy about this false science, or science falsely so called. He goes on to tell him, he said, "The which some professing have erred concerning the faith." You got to be careful what you believe. And young people, I'm particularly preaching to you tonight because you're in the process of education. Education, science is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with science as long as it's true. But you don't have to believe everything you hear just because it. Believe it long enough to get an A on the test and then forget it. Amen. All you're doing is just repeating what they say. If they say that you came from a monkey, just put down, "I came from a monkey." And just put on the test and get your A and then say, "Baloney, that's not right." That's science, falsely so-called. Amen. And there's some things, if you believe, they'll sink your faith. And one of those things is science falsely so-called. Unfortunately, you have to go through a whole lot of that kind of stuff to get a degree in any kind of education. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You got to go you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you ever find a prince. In education, so-called. You got to put up with a lot of stuff. But you don't have to believe it. You just learn about it and then learn why it's not true. Amen. And it's all so fickle, so much of it. And we know that, don't we? Every day we hear, oh, don't eat this. This will kill you if you eat it. And then a few months later you'll read, oh, it's okay. Who do you believe? That's false science, you see. Amen. I remember a billboard I saw. I liked that billboard. It was a billboard of a bunch of eggs walking out of prison. Because, you know, for several years there, eggs were horrible. It was an abomination to eat an egg. It would almost kill you on the spot. While you were chewing, your veins were slamming shut. And your arteries were clogging up. And then lo and behold, a little bit later, it said, oh, eggs are okay. And so they're getting out of prison. Amen. Amen. We just can't believe everything we hear. But some people really buy into that. And they're sold on it. And they believe, they swallow the whole thing. And they believe it. Amen. Boy, I could preach on that a little bit, couldn't I? Think I might. Did you know that there are people, they blame everything, and they say that, well, you know, you can't help yourself. If you're an alcoholic, it's because you're born an alcoholic. And it's you can't help yourself. That's just the way that you are. And there's a gene, it's an alcoholic gene, and if you got it, you're just going to be an alcoholic, nothing you can do about it. Let me tell you how to avoid that. Don't drink. Problem solved. Science is telling us right now, and of course this will change in a few days, but right now they're telling us that you're born with whatever kind of body you're in doesn't matter. You can be in a male body, but you can really be a female. Let me tell you how to solve that one. Check your plumbing. That answers the question. Problem solved. It's just that simple, folks. I could help these guys out a whole lot if they'd let me. I mean, I can simplify things. That's just cut right to the chase. But now they're telling you that, oh no. You can be a female trapped in a male body, or a male trapped in a female body. And you got to go to the doctors and the scientists and get everything changed so you can be what you really are. You know what that is? That's confusion. And you know who the author of confusion is? The Bible says that Satan is the author of confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Amen. He made you male and female. And you can figure that out. But some people buy into science, so-called. Now again, I'm all for true science. If it's the real thing, good. If it's a proven fact, good. There are some scientific laws that you can't break. They'll break you. One of them's gravity, you know. You ever tried to break the law of gravity? How many people have you ever seen fall up? We don't talk about falling up. We talk about falling down. Because that's a law of gravity. Amen. It's a fact. I mean, we can prove that. Amen. That's not hard to prove, is it? It's a fact. So there are certain scientific laws that are genuine. They're true. One of those laws is DNA. We prove that and the Bible says that each produced after his kind. And it's always that way. Have you ever seen a dat? A dat would be a cross between a dog and a cat. But there are no dats. Or cogs, I guess, would be the other side. No dats and cogs because dogs produce dogs. Yes, there are varieties within the species. We have Chihuahuas and Great Danes. And there's a difference in the species, but they're all dogs. And two dogs have never, ever produced a cat. And you cannot cross dogs and cats. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't cross horses and cows. They won't reproduce. Nothing else can reproduce with a human being. Nothing can, because there are laws that God's put into DNA, and everything produces after its kind. In the world of vegetation, it's the same way. You know, fruit reproduces, apples reproduce apples. Amen. Oranges produce oranges. Yes, within a certain species, you can make certain changes, and you can produce a fruit that's a little bit different than before. We know that's true. But within a species, you can do that. But God sets certain guidelines, and that's what I mean when I'm talking about science, you see. That is science, isn't it? It's the way it is. It always produces after its kind. It's been that way for thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, we have some people that come along and say, oh, but everything came from an explosion. Out of that explosion, it just blew everything up, and out of that chaos, there was some primordial slime, and eventually some amoebas crawled out of the slime, and they got together and somehow produced something, and then that produced something else, and after a few million more years, it grew some legs, and its tail fell off, and that's quite a story. Amen. And there's people that believe it. Smart people that believe it. Intelligent people that believe it. More intelligent than I am. They really are. I give them credit where credit's due. They're very educated. But they're leaning on a bruised reed. And here's my problem with that. Is so much of our science today is based, it's built on a false premise. They're basing everything on that theory that has never been proven true. And yet they build on that foundation, knowing that it cannot be proven. And so what happens? It's a house of cards. It will come down. So that's a bruised reed. Don't build on something that isn't true, no matter how good it sounds. And no matter how intelligent the people are that are telling you that. Well, Brother Grissom, why do I have to believe you? You don't have to believe me, but believe the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. You have the Spirit of truth tonight, and it will bear witness to truth. And if I say something that the Spirit of truth does not bear witness to, don't believe me. But if the Holy Ghost bears witness to what I'm saying, then believe it. Amen. Is that fair enough? So don't lean on false science, but lean on truth and true science. And then the Bible talks about not leaning on riches. Brother Neil, I was glad to hear you got a lot of money. That really helped me out there. Because now I know where to go if I need some. Amen. So called. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said that 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, I guess I'm going to have to preach out of 2 Timothy because I keep going there. Amen. So when we get through with this, we'll start on that, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Everybody say great gain. Isn't it good to feel content? I like being content. I like being happy. Amen. I enjoy feeling content. Not always feeling like I don't have something somebody else has, not feel bad because I don't have it. Amen. You get a new car, I feel like I got to get one. Amen. You get the flu, I feel like I got to get the flu. Amen. Now, I did hear about a woman one time that went to the doctor and found out that she had a serious disease and they were going to have to do surgery. And she started laughing. And the doctor said, "What are you laughing for?" She said, "That'll show him." She said, I wanted a fur coat, wouldn't for me. And she said, "This is going to cost him a whole lot more than a fur coat." Something wrong with that picture. Amen. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can carry nothing out." Isn't that true? Chuck Swindoll said, "Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You're not taking anything out of here. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Anybody got food in your house? Anybody got clothes in your closet? Be honest now. Be honest. Amen. Don't you look in there and see all that stuff and say, "I haven't a thing to wear." Well, some of it might not fit, but not that I'd know anything about that. He said, "But they," listen very closely, "they that will be rich," everybody say will be rich, "fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You see that's the problem with riches, is when you start leaning on it, it's like a bruised reed. It'll pierce you through. It'll hurt you. Don't pursue riches in life. Not the Bible calls them uncertain riches. Don't get on the get caught up in the material game that you know, the he that dies with the most toys wins. Well, but he's still dead, and he can't take his toys with him. So it's a game, and it'll pierce you through. It will not make you happy. Money cannot make people happy. It can make people miserable, but it'll not make you satisfied. It'll always leave something empty, and there'll always be somebody that has a little bit more than you do. And you get caught up in that game, and it'll make you miserable. It's a bruised reed. And then the Bible talks about pleasures, worldly pleasures. There's two things I want to tell you about worldly pleasures. Number one is they're very seasonal. They just last for a season. They're not going to last a long time. And I'm not going to say that there's not any pleasure in pleasure. Obviously there is. Sin is pleasant. You know what sin is? It's a perversion of good. The devil didn't create anything. He just perverted things. So all sin is perverted good. Amen. God made grains that you can eat and they nourish your body, or you can let them ferment and make beer out of them. God gave you grapes that you can eat, or you can ferment them and make wine out of them. So you see, that's a perversion of a good thing. It's not intended to be used that way. You can use it that way. Sexual pleasure is the same thing. God created that act for marriage and creation, and He made it pleasurable, and it's a good thing. Unless it's perverted. But when it's perverted, it becomes evil. When when you mix men and women, it's evil. When you get involved outside of marriage, it's evil. It's wrong. It's still wrong. It doesn't matter how many people say it's right. It's still wrong. Amen. Praise God. I know what our world says. I know what they're saying. Amen. Praise God. They're saying, well, that's their ideas about it, but it's still wrong. Amen. Outside the confines of me, it's still wrong. And we still need to hear that, don't we? Is that okay? Hope I didn't embarrass anybody too much tonight. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I'm here to keep preaching the truth. I don't want us to get off track here like so many people have. Somebody said wisely so. They said if we would have preached against fornication, we wouldn't have a problem with abortion. If we would have held the ground back here, we wouldn't be fighting this over here. Amen. I'm still talking about bruised reeds. Amen. It'll pierce you through your hand. It'll hurt you. Sin always, ultimately, hurts. Doesn't it? Ultimately, it hurts. We all know what I'm talking about tonight. The devil promises you, if you do this, you're going to feel good. And you do for a little while. But then the sun rises on a new day. And you feel guilt. And you feel shame. Because you know you sold out. And you would do anything to take those moments back, but you can never get them back. You would do anything to undo what you have done, but you can't go back and undo things. You just have to pay a price, suffer some consequences, and go on. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that these things are bruised reeds. The world says you got to do this, man. This is fun. And you try it, and it will pierce you just like it does. It's not the way to go. Amen. And in popularity. Oh, everybody wants to be popular. Amen. And it's good to be popular if you can do it in the right way. That's right. The Bible said if you want friends, be friendly. You can't win a bunch of friends being a grouch. Hello? I said you can't win a bunch of friends being a grouch. People don't like to be around grouches. You can't win a bunch of friends being selfish. That's right, you got to be giving. If you're going to have a relationship with somebody, it's going to cost you something. That's right, you're going to have to give time. You're going to have to give energy. You're going to have to give emotional support. You're going to have to let somebody else talk sometimes. Amen. It's going to cost you something if you're going to have a relationship. If you're going to have friends, amen. Isn't it amazing people say, I got 5,000 friends on Facebook. Yeah, right. Friends. Friends. And they're all BFFs, right? Every last one of them. Amen. That's our world. Shallow. Superficial. If you have 3 good friends, real friends in a lifetime, you're doing good. Amen. I'm talking about friends today. Real friends. And so those are bruised reeds. Popularity is a bruised reed. And you know, it happens a lot. When you're most vulnerable, you're going through high school years. Let me tell you something about junior high and high school. In a few years, you'll never see those people again. It don't matter what they think about you. They're going to go their way. You're going to go your way. I was gone from where I graduated from high school. I went back there, and I pastored there for 5 years, and I never saw one person that I went to high school with that I recognized. They might all got fat and old like me. I don't know. But I didn't recognize not one of them. Isn't that amazing? And so if you're all worried about being popular, it's not going to matter. You're not even going to know those people after a while. And so they're going to go and things are going to change. Amen. Some of them are going to die early and young. Some of them are going to go to prison. Some of them are going to get married and divorced over and over. Some of them are going to get addicted to things that they can't deliver themselves from. Don't worry about popularity. Amen. Just serve God. Be faithful. Be happy. You know what? If you put God first, He'll put people in your life that you need. He'll help you form friendships that matter and that last. People that love you. People that will really be there. People that are genuinely concerned about you. Yes, He will. Amen. Don't worry about popularity. That's a bruised reed. Amen. So he said, lean not to your own understanding. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but therein are the ways of death. There have been a few times in my life. Now, I'm a real man. I don't ask for directions. My wife says, why don't you stop and ask for directions? Well, why in the world would I want to do that? When you know in another couple of hours, I can figure it out. Why would you want to do something so unmanly as ask for directions? There have been a few times that I was just convinced I was going the right way. And I wasn't. Did you ever try to take a shortcut that turned out to be a long way around? Yeah. There's a way that seems right. We think this is it. I'm going the right way. And we're not. Amen. So we've got to be careful about leaning to our own understanding. Amen. The Bible said that there's a broad way. And there's many on it, but it's the wrong way. He said it's headed for destruction. You can't always go. How many have heard this? The majority is always right. Well, Noah proved that in the ark. When the storm was over, only 8 people were living, and the multitude was drowned. So the majority's not always right, but God is always right. So if He tells you to build an ark and get in it, you do it. Don't lean to your own understanding. And so the Bible talks about lean not to our own understanding, because it'll take us the wrong direction and we'll make wrong decisions and we'll do wrong things. Amen. There have been a few times I really thought I was right, and I turned out I wasn't. Have you ever had that experience? If you haven't, hang on, you will. Amen. Praise the Lord. There have been times my wife told me that I was wrong, and she was wrong. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And then there have been times she told me that I was wrong, and she was right. And we're not going to talk about how many times. Who's keeping score? But you got to be careful what you lean on. There's a lot of bruised reeds in this world. Amen. But the Bible gave us the right thing. It said, trust in the Lord. Everybody say trust. Trust is the Old Testament word for have faith. You can have faith in God. You can trust in Him. You can safely trust in Him. Amen. He will not move. And He does not change. Everything else changes. Everything about life changes. Things that you have confidence in today change. Somebody said years ago that you can't go home again. When you get a little bit older and you try to go home, it's not home anymore. Anybody going back to a home place? And oh, how changed it was. Amen. I went back to my home place a few years ago where I grew up. And my, it had changed. Everything shrunk. There used to be this mountain we jumped off of. It was probably about as tall as this platform. But when I was little, that was a mountain we were jumping off of. Amen. Everything changed. And everything changes in life. People change. Relationships change. Relationships change. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same but God. He's the one consistency in life that's always the same. He's perfect and He cannot change. And He will not move. You remember the story of the prodigal son? That story. You know when the prodigal son left, that his daddy didn't go looking? He didn't. The father never left the house because he knew one of these days, he knows where I am. He knows where I am. He knows how to get back here. But if I leave here, he wouldn't know how to find me. Amen. He never went looking. He never searched him out. He just stayed consistent. There's much to be said for staying consistent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just stay consistent. It's important. Now, that said, let me make a few observations here, if I may. I hear this oftentimes, people talking about the church, and they say, well, it's not like it used to be, and you're right. Do you know why it's not like it used to be? Because it's not the same people. If you take a recipe and you add something new to it, you put nuts in it, it's not what it was before. Bad analogy. Get back on track. That wasn't what I meant. Let's put some vanilla in it. Maybe a little chocolate. Let's change it up a little bit here. But if everything you put into it, it's going to change the consistency. Amen. Amen. So it's true, isn't it? Thank you for helping out there, Brother Fry. Amen. And so that you then church is like that. You put young people in the church, they're going to change it. If we're going to keep young people. You know, I noticed tonight when we were singing, man, we sang everything. We went back in the 50s. Yes, we did. And we brought it all the way up to the 2010. And we sung everything in between. And if you didn't like something, something's wrong with your liker. Surely there was something somewhere that you could get something out of. Amen. So things change. People change. And I hear this, you know, well, you know, the church is not what it used to be. And it's not. Because this is a different generation we're reaching today. Amen. Now, we could stay the same and die. or you can reach who you're, the generation that you're reaching now. Amen. We can die in one generation if we don't reach out to the next generation. Amen. And so change is inevitable. As human beings, we change. Amen. It's different. And we know that it's different. That's just life. It goes on, changes. But God doesn't change. His promises are yea and amen. He never changes. He's always the same. Amen. He's good every day because God is goodness. Amen. God is love. You can always count on it. God is light. You can always count on it. God is truth. You can always count on it. God is righteous. God is pure. God is perfect. God is powerful. You can always count on it. You can lean on Him. And He will not fail. And He will not change. He'll always, always, always be the same. You can count on the Lord. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, when I read that today, I examined again. You know where that's found? Matthew chapter 24. You know what's going on in Matthew chapter 24? He's talking about the end of the age. He's talking about the tribulation, Brother Bacon. He's talking about the bad times that are coming upon the earth. He's talking about things the church is going to have to go through and going to have to endure. He's talking about persecutions and tribulations and troubles. And in the middle of that, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So when the troubles come and the storms rise and you're in the difficulties and persecutions, He said, my word will not change. You can stand on it. You can live on it. You can build a life on it. And it won't fail you. It won't pierce you. It won't hurt you. Amen. The word of God endures all things. It's one thing you can count on. Now you can count on my word up to the point of what I can do about it. But circumstances can make me change my words. If I tell you I'm going to be somewhere and I'm not there, maybe my battery died and a vehicle started. I may have had a flat tire. I may have had an emergency. Or maybe I forgot. Can you imagine that? Don't shake your head like that. You've done it too. That's what happens to us. But God doesn't forget. And God is not counting on a vehicle. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And everywhere He is, He's all that He is. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's wisdom. Amen. You can count on Him. You can build a life on the Lord. Yeah, sometimes I need a crutch. But I know the crutch that I need. I know who I need to lean on. Amen. I know who I need to lean on. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Anybody ever had to lean on the Lord? Anybody ever got to a place where you knew you just couldn't make it by yourself? All of your strength was gone. You had bankrupted all of your energies and your abilities, and there was nothing else you could do. You had to lean on the Lord. And it was a safe place to lean. It was all right. Amen. You can lean on Him. It's safe to do so. Praise the Lord. It's safe to lean on the Lord. I read about a man that was walking along with his son, and the son ran ahead, and there in the path there was a rock, a big rock, and the little boy decided he was going to move it out of the way and show his dad how strong he was. He reached down and grabbed that stone with both of his little hands, and boy, he started straining. His muscles began to quiver. His face turned red. His face was twisted with all of his exertion. He was giving everything that he had. Nothing happened. His dad arrived and said, "Son, did you use all your strength?" And the little boy said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I used all my strength." And he said, "No, you didn't." And he said, "Oh, yes, I did, Dad." He said, I gave it all I had. He said, "No, you didn't." He said, "I was standing right here and you didn't ask me to help you. You haven't done all until you ask him to help you. You haven't used all of your strength until you tap into the strength of your Heavenly Father. What you can't move, He can. What you can't do, He can. What you can't endure, He can. And you know what? He will. All you've got to do is invite Him. Amen. Sometimes I need a crutch. Sometimes I need somebody to lean on. And I'm so thankful that I know the Lord, and He's not a bruised reed. He's steadfast. He's sure. He's secure. And I can safely lean on Him. If I could use a story again tonight, I've used it in times past, but I really like it. So if you've heard it, you're going to hear it again. And if you haven't, you're going to like it. There was a family that went next door to the friend's house just a few moments. And they left their little girl at the house, and they knew they wouldn't be gone very long. But nonetheless, while they were gone, a quick storm came up, and suddenly they heard thunder, and they raced out the door, and lightning was flashing, and the rain was falling in sheets, and the parents were so afraid because they knew that their little girl was going to be terrified of the storm. And so they rushed home just as quick as they could, and they yanked the door open, and they ran inside, and they saw the strangest thing. When they got there, their little old daughter was standing on the family Bible on the coffee table, and she was singing just as loud as she could, "Jesus loves me, this I know, 'cause the Bible tells me so." And they said, "Honey, what are you doing up there?" She said, "Well, my Sunday school teacher said, 'Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.'" She said, "I'm standing on the word." If she got it. She got it. We need to get it. Amen. We need to understand you can stand on the word. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I do need a crutch. If religion's a crutch, that's okay. I need a crutch. If Jesus is a crutch, that's okay. I need a crutch. Amen. If believing in God is some kind of a crutch, that's okay. Sometimes I do need a crutch. And so do you. And so do you. And so do you. You've tried some of these other things, and all you have to show for it are bruises, scabs and scars and wounds, because they're bruised reeds, and they'll pierce you through, and they'll hurt you. Amen. But if you'll lean on the Lord, He's sure and He's steadfast and He's secure. Amen. Anybody need a crutch here tonight? You've tried some things and it didn't work out. Amen. Well, you know the Lord will. He'll be there for you. He said, "I'm not ever going to leave you. I'm not ever going to forsake you. But I'm with you even to the end of the world." You can't beat a friend like that. You can't beat a friend like that. Amen. I'm inviting you, somebody tonight, you need to make your way down to this altar. You need to plant your feet on a rock. Amen. Enough of bruised reeds. There have been enough of things that don't work out. Enough of betrayal and pain and hurt and misery. Enough of that. Come to the rock tonight. Settle it once and for all. Jesus, here I am, casting my cares upon you. Here I am, Lord. I'm leaning on you tonight. Sometimes I do need a crutch. Sometimes, God, I just have to lean on you. Oh, but I thank you, you're there. Always available. Amen. You have broad shoulders that I can cry on. Amen. You have a strong arm that I can lean on. You're always steadfast. Amen. That's all right. Come on, let's lean on Jesus tonight. Come on, let's lean on Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
When I don't know just what to do,
I got...